Neude Terremeister Chaffe. Ja, Tafschen Peter wird Rabmozzi bösen.
When some one of our statesmen who led our country and left us with many good lines, Winston Churchill, I don't know what you say after his name, Winston Churchill, one of his lines he said was, when I was 17 I wondered why my parents were so stupid. When I hit 20 I thought, wow, they've learned a lot in 3 years. A lot of advice we get from our parents, we get from different older people, Rabbonim, Gedolim, Tzadikim, and sometimes we don't understand their advice, but we know and we trust that whatever they tell us is right. There's a very famous letter I wanted to discuss today. Everyone's heard of this letter, and there's a lot of advice within this letter. This letter is known as Igeres Ramban. The Ramban wrote this letter to his son, with lots of different points and advice for him how to live his life. The Baal Tanura says at the beginning of Avos, Sechtes Avos, the first Mishnah starts off, Moshe kibul Torah miSinai. Sorry, Yeshua, Yeshua, let's carry him all the way down, and Shekinah Sakadela, which seems a little bit superfluous. Why are you telling us Moshe kibul Torah miSinai? If you don't know that, you shouldn't be learning Mishnahs. This is basics. Moshe kibul Torah miSinai, a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah that tells us Moshe kibul Torah miSinai. The Baal Tanura says that you may think Avos looks like nice advice. You can say Lahavdil, it's another Dale Carnegie book. How to live your life, good advice, how to be nice to people. The Mishnah is coming to tell you on the outset of Avos that every word of here is Torah miSinai. Every word of here, the Rebbe Shem told Moshe to Yeshua, Yeshua to Kenim, Kenim to Levim, Levim to Anshe, Kenas HaGadela, all the way down to today. It's not just advice and nice anecdotes. Rather, everything there is laden with so much lessons for life. The Ramban also in his letter gives so much advice. It's not just another letter with cute fatherly advice. Rather, all of it is Torah. The Ramban starts off, Shema b'ni Musa avicha. Everyone knows how it begins. V'altitish teres yimecha. Listen to the advice I'm about to give you. As we said, every part of this letter is not just advice, rather it's Torah. But it's Musa avicha. And Teres Yimecha, the advice that you have to always remember. Now the Ramban starts off with a very interesting line. He could start off with Teira, with Yira, which he discusses later. But he doesn't choose to start like that. He chooses to start his letter with a very basic fundamental of integrating into society. Tisnaheg Tomei Dedabru Kol Derecha Benachas. The Ramban starts off saying, whatever you do, Tisnaheg Tomei, you should make it your minig, you should make it your anhoga, you should make it second nature, ledaber kol dvarecha benachas. Whatever you say should always be benachas, it should be calm, it should be nice, it should be interesting to other people. You shouldn't get angry and upset. And as we said, it's interesting to start like that. Obviously the Ramban felt that the very basic yisoid for a person to do anything in life is to react with other people in a pleasant way, in a nice way. Dibri Chachomim, Benachas Nishmoim, we know Chazal tell us, when a person wants his point to get across, it's how he gives it, it's not just what he says, it's how he says it. In fact, someone who has a point that he knows is good, he doesn't have to scream and yell, because you're going to understand my point. I was once talking to a lawyer, I said, how does it work? He said, you bring all sorts of arguments. I said, if you haven't got an argument, he said, then you yell. You only yell when you've got no argument. You see two people having an argument. One guy's yelling away. Okay, you're the guy that doesn't have a proper argument to present, because if you did have, it would be calm. The Ramban's saying, if you ever want your words to get across, it's got to be done nice, it's got to be done calm, it's got to be done soft. And in a pleasant way, because that's how people take an argument. He carries on and says, this advice I'm giving you, L'dabu kol dvarecha benachas, is l'chol adam u'l'chol eis. It's always, which seems a bit interesting. If I tell you to do this, but always do it. Well, obviously, if you're telling me to do it, what's l'chol adam u'l'chol eis? The Ramban is telling us that we all know how to behave, how to interact with other people. But there's always that one person, or that one time where you think, no, this person, he needs to be put into place. This time, look, I'm allowed to have my one weak moment. L'chol adam u'l'chol eis. There's never a weak moment, there's never one person who he decides to get it hard and heavy. There's l'chol adam u'l'chol eis, always across the board. Now, how did a person perfect himself to the point that he'd always be ready for any scenario? It's very difficult. What are you meant to do? You suddenly get angry, someone annoys you, a guy knocks into your car, someone scratches it, someone does something to you, you get upset. Someone told me he was once by Rabbi Yonah ben Finkel. Rabbi Yonah ben Finkel, Emir, known as Rabbi Yonah HaTzadik. It's not for nothing, he's known as that. So he adopts special needs children, which have a lot of different conditions, and the parents can't deal with them. He adopts them, he takes them into his house. And my friend was telling me he was eating there Friday night once, and he was standing up for Kiddush, he was holding the kois in his hand, full of wine. And one of these children, Nebuch, with special needs, threw something at the kois. And the kois went splash in his face, the whole thing's flying, wine dripping down his white shirt, the end of the cup, he needed to get a new kois, new wine. And he was calm, cool and collected. He got himself another kois, he filled up, and he started the Kiddush again with the wine still dripping down him. And my friend told me, said to him, "I don't understand, how did you not get angry? That would have driven me insane. How did you stay calm?" And he said to him, the chokhmah is to prepare yourself before every scenario, before every situation. Think, if this thing arises, if someone gets me annoyed, if something happens, if something goes wrong, I'm committed now to stay calm. And if you think about it beforehand, you pre-plan it, then you'll be okay with it. And so one of the Mefarshim asked, we know coming up a few weeks, Parshas Korach. Korach is Chochem Mikol Adam. He was the smartest person, he was the richest person, he carried the Aron, he was one of Sheva Levi, he was close to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we can see from his dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu what a Talmud Chochem he was, yet he fell so deep, he fell down to the depths of Gehenna. How can it be a Chochem like Korach managed to mess up on such a huge scale? And one of the Mefarshim said the same thing. When a person gets angry, or Korach was covered, or loss of money, or any, or health, a person can lose themselves. However, if you pre-plan it, and you make it your life's mission, that whatever life throws at you, in this whirlwind of activity, you're always going to remain calm. Then nothing bothers you. Whatever comes your way, I'm ready for this. Victor Miller was told, the doctors told him, you haven't got long to live. He said, no problem, I waited my whole life for this. He was ready for it. Nothing could throw him off course. And that was the secret of Korach. Korach messed up because he came to a point where he couldn't think straight because he wasn't prepared for it. And his honor was slightly knocked. That was it. Everything came crumbling down like a ton of bricks. Now, a man's telling you, always benachas. How? You got to pre-plan. You got to be ready for it. People are going to get you angry in life. That's life. We deal with lots of interesting people with all different colors and flavors. However, if you're ready for it, then you won't be thrown, of course, you'll always be calm. And that's where a man carries on, you'll be saved from chaos, you'll be saved from anger. Once a person is trained to always speak calm and remain calm, they won't get angry. And he carries on to bring Pesukim, how bad anger is. Anger is like Gehenna. And we know ourselves, a person gets angry, it burns inside you. It makes you do things that don't make sense. A person gets angry, back to Korach. He challenged Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't make any sense. But he was so angry, he was so gawking inside him, that it just pushed him to a point that the sanity didn't fly with him anymore. The Raman's telling you that the worst thing is to get angry. And all this advice I'm telling you is to keep you calm and not to let you get to a point that you're going to throw any seichel. This is one of the worst middos that cause a person to sin. A person gets angry, a person gets down and upset, a person doesn't do anything. That's why he says, it causes you to do different averas. Once you're angry, who knows what's going to be next. A person gets angry, anything can happen. He gets upset, he feels slighted, he feels pushed away. We know the story in Shabbos in Saita with Yoshku, and he got pushed away by his Rebbe, and he ends up doing crazy stuff. Person gets pushed aside, gets angry, gets upset. A person can lead you to the most dangerous places. And he carries on, all types of Gehenna. We know the seven types of Gehenna. There are man saying, you person gets angry, all seven types manifest within you and burn you round and round. And why did this happen? Because you got angry. Why did you get angry? Because you were getting very excited with your conversation. If you train yourself to always talk calm and react in a calm way, hopefully you'll avoid the scenarios of anger which will make you feel like you're in Gehenna. Shenemai brings a positive, you remove anger from your heart, you'll remove raw bad from your flesh. It goes together. The anger in your heart, it actually makes people feel ill. There's done different studies on it, how much anger causes a person, his physical health, to deteriorate. So Ramban's telling you, brings the from Kehelas, it's going to remove any bad from you. It goes together. People get overworked up and angry, they end up causing themselves damage. He carries on, v'kasher tinoz l'minakas. Now that we've eradicated any sort of anger, you're calm, you're premeditated, you're ready for any scenario that may come your way. Ta'ala libcho midah anova. The next stage is anova. Person has to remember to be humble. She midah toiva mikol amidah toivis. Is the single most important midah a person can have is anova. Now what does it mean anova? I wanted to stop for a moment and explain what does it mean anova? How do you define anova? So I thought a good place to start, the Aruch Sadiqim, because he goes through all the different middahs, and each middah, he explains what that middah is. The Aruch Sadiqim says like this, Shorish HaAnava, what does it mean to be Anav? We know today it's very popular to have self-esteem, so what does that mean? How does it go with that? What is self-esteem? What is Anava? What is Gaiva? What is Kovod? Shorish HaAnava, Sheyachshev Be'atzmei, a person should think to himself, Ba'oichu, Shalva, V'shekel, Bori, V'oisha. When you're calm, when you're rich, when you're comfortable, not when everything's going wrong, because then for sure you're going to feel helpless. But when a person has everything, life's going good, you're comfortable, you feel secure, you feel you've got everything arranged, you know your position is extremely healthy. At that point you have to think, the Ribbon Shalom, the Ribbon Shalom gave you all this good. And really, you didn't design this yourself. The Ribbon Shalom sent it to you. The Akshav Gudula Sakil, the Akshav Mani, you should think how great the Ribbono Shel Olam is and how small I am. It's like imagine a person comes to you today and says to you, look, the sun's shining, it doesn't happen often here. The sun's shining, look how nice the weather is in Manchester. I live in Manchester because I like the rain, the sun shining, and look how we've gone about it to make it so sunny, you think it's crazy. The weather's nothing got to do with you. Yeah, people take pride in their health, their looks, their children, their money. Which all these things we know the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to us. Anova means to recognize and understand that I didn't create my situation. It was presented to me. And this is how the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is what he gave to me in my life. There's no point in taking any covet, any pride in it. Anything a person has, people go around, especially in the Goyish world, we look at celebrities, wow, look at this person, wow. But most of what they got was hand given to them by the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's only one thing we know we can be about Gaiva about. That's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Al tishal al chacham b'chachmasai, Al tishal al gibor b'gurasai, Al tishal al asher b'ashrei. Chachma, gibor, oisha is all from Hashem. Kim b'zoyis tishal al mishalel. This is what you can feel proud about. What haskavei, there you see, someone who comes close to Hashem, someone who works on themselves, either whether it's midas, whether it's Torah, Yerushamayim, Tefillah, anything ruchnias, where a person goes against his grain and fights his natural desires and grows, that's something a person can feel proud of, because there you take achieve something. And with that, a person's growing to new heights. Rav Chassidim says you may get into trouble with this, because if a person feels very good about their spiritual standing, they may become complacent and say, that's it, I'm done. That's a big danger, a pitfall that may happen. But as long as a person's aware there's a lot more to achieve, we look around at our gedolim, how great we can all become. A person feels, I've achieved a lot, that's something to say, yeah, I've worked hard and I managed to accomplish this, there's much more to do. But to feel smug about money, about power, about chokhmah, about gevura, about our looks, about our family, that's ridiculous, because it's something the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, and it's not something we can feel proud over other people that we have this. That's how the Ramban carries on. The most important mitzvah to have is to be an onov and to understand everything from the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a person feels like this, a person understands, as the Ramban's going to continue in a minute, the way you react, interact with other people. There was a yid called Baruch Yirmiyash. I actually saw him speak, and he said that he was very close with Reb Nachman Zvi Finkel. His father was a wealthy man, gave the yeshiva a lot of money. He was young, he was a bachi, he lived there. And he got married and he came to Reb Nachman Zvi and said to him, can I offer the Rosh Yeshiva Sandokos? And the Rosh Yeshiva said yes. He was in America at the time. When's the bris? He said, next Monday, I'm going to be there. Sunday night, the Gabbaim call him up and say, you got to find yourself a new sanduk. Reb Nachman Zvi is extremely ill. We all remember Reb Nachman Zvi could barely stand, barely walk, barely talk. Forget it, everyone else, he's not doing the bris. And he was very upset, and so he had a backup, which he planned to be Sanduk. He called the Gaboyim back Monday morning. He said, Rosh Nasvi, you can't imagine what's going on. This, we've never seen him like this. There's no way he's going to make it to the bris. Fine. He said they're going to go ahead. He said, listen, the bris 9 o'clock. If he does come, they told him, forget it. He's not coming. He came 9 o'clock. He was making his preparations for the bris, and he couldn't believe it. Suddenly this car pulls up, and there were six people who came out of the car, and they carried Rosh Nasvi inside. He was lying flat. There were two holding one leg, two holding the other leg, and they carried him inside, and he was shaking from head to toe. He looked a sight. And this, what was his name again? Baruch said to him, I can't believe the Rosh Yeshiva came in this state. And he said, the Rosh Yeshiva looked at him and said to him five words. A word is a word. I said, I'm going to come. Now, Rosh Nasvi was the Rosh Yeshiva of the biggest yeshiva in the world. He didn't have anything he needed to do for this person. He didn't feel mechuyev to him. However, he knew that this person, he promised he's going to do something for him. And a word is a word. Because a person who has anava understands there's no difference between me and you. I may be the Rosh Yeshiva, the biggest yeshiva in the world. You may be a young man with your first child. But there's no real difference between us. Because the Rebbeinu gave me this, the Rebbeinu gave you that. The anava puts ourselves on an equal standing with all other people. When a person can ignore other people, push other people down, normally comes from this lack of anava where you feel, I'm better, I'm different, I've achieved. When a person understands that whatever we have is all from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And even by Ruchnius, it could be I was given a different scenario to him, and therefore my life, I was meant to reach these levels. Then a person can treat every person with a respect that's really due to them. After that he carries on, and he says, Ba'avur ha'anova, once you've achieved anova, what comes next? We are talking nice, no chaos, anova. What was after anova? Tara libcha midas ha'yira. When a person feels so proud of himself, it's hard to feel the yira. When a person feels smaller and understands the Ribbono Shel gave him everything, it's easier to reach the level of yira, to become a yira shemayim. That's the next stage, which is more difficult. I saw heard this vart from B'Shem Shmuel Birnbaum, where he said, the Yaakovin who said, when he heard Oiz Yosef Chai, he said, I want to go and see Yosef, why? Eilich Ve'erno, I'll go and see him, B'Terem Omos. Why would I go see him? Because my son, I want to go see him before I die. It sounds very simple. However, Shmuel Birnbaum says, what do you mean B'Terem Omos before I die? Well, and once you're dead, you can't see him? Well, obviously, he said that, I think he said over B'Shem Chofetz Chaim, that when Yaakov realized Yosef is still alive, and he had retained his level of Kedusha, and he was such a tzaddik still, he realized that Yosef was on such a high madriga, possibly a higher madriga than me, Yaakov, in the thoughts. And he realized that after we all die, in Shemayim, we all might be able to see each other. But he realized that Yosef was on such a high madriga, he would never be able to see him, his level in Gan Eden. Then we said, B'terem Omos, Elisha Ishtachap Arayin, and see Yosef now, before he dies, before I die, I'll get a chance to see him. Who knows if I'll see him in the next world? A person that reaches the level of Yirei Chet, there's such high madrigas, that even someone like Yaakov Avinu, is the regular Revealer, Merakov, is the greatest, the ever, Yaakov Avinu was one of the greatest we ever had. But he felt that Yosef grew in this Nisoyan so strong, that his Yirei Shemayim was so great, that I may never see him in Olam Haba. A person has to put on himself his yira, and his yira can go anywhere. It can reach the highest of levels. Think about where he came from. Here he slightly paraphrases on the first Mishnah Paragimel in Avos. A person processes his thoughts. He realizes that I've got to have my yira shemayim about me. I've got to realize the Rebbeinu Shem is boss. He runs the world. A person reaches that level of yira through these thoughts. He carries on. Once you've processed all this, you've understood again the kas, the anova, the yira. You'll be afraid of your boire, and you'll keep away from sin. I once saw someone write in a sefer, what's the difference between a yirei shemayim and a yirei chet? You find them used by Chazal in different contexts. And what's the difference between the two? Yirei Shemayim, Yirei Chet. He's a very nice thought. Yirei Chet means you're afraid of doing the Avera. This Avera, nah, it's not for me. I don't do this Avera. The problem is, once you may have, by mistake, done the Avera, then you don't feel so foreign to it anymore. And as the Gemara says, now as you look ahead, you start thinking, okay, I did it once, it wasn't so bad. I'm that sort of person now that does this anyway. Whereas Yirei Shemayim means you're scared of Hashem. You fear the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, even if you did the Avera, this Avera may not feel so foreign, this Avera may feel more familiar now. But I know the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching. It's not the Avera, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ayurei Chet is just the practice of not doing Avera A or Avera B. Ayurei Shamayev is when he realizes the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the commandment not to do this. And if it's not the Avera, I may have done this Avera 1,000 times. Okay, but the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want me to continue. Forget Avera. Think about the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Ayurei Shamayev. And it's a much higher level. So he puts them both, Vatirmi Barecha, Vatisham and Achait, be afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then you'll keep away from all Averas. Once you have these amidas, you don't get angry, you've got Yanova, you're Shemayim, then you'll be Someach B'chalkech, you'll be so happy. You'll realize the quality of life that you're offered. I was talking to someone last week, not the biggest saint, someone who has a lot of struggles, and he admits them openly that he's not doing what he should be doing. But he said to me, do you know, I realize, even though it's very difficult, this whole Yiddishkeit thing, he says, ultimately, we have the best quality of life. We have our morals, we have our understanding, we have our standards, because we have so much that a goy doesn't have. But once a person works on himself to reach these heights, he becomes so happy, he becomes the happiest person. And we look at our gedolim, we remember how happy they were, even without the gedolim, a good Jew, whatever, any scenario he's in, he's always happy. He always feels accomplished, and he knows and understands what he's doing is right. The Ramban saying, when a person reaches this level, use them to gain in this world. It's not Olam Haba, think about what's going to be a schat. Forget it, here, right now, your quality of life will be on a much higher level when a person attains all these different levels. When a person achieves this level of Anova, and he treats every person like an equal, and you're afraid of Hashem, you're afraid of sin, Ruach HaShchina, the Shechina will eventually be able to settle on you. The Ziv Akvoida and Chayelim Abba, all these levels, a person will to achieve through doing this, through reaching these high madrigas that are shacht every person. He says, someone who's proud of other people, he looks at other people as if they're lower than him. It's like you're ignoring Hashem because the Ribbono Shel Olam made every person. And the minute you feel, this person is lower than me, you look at them condescending. Then suddenly you're looking at the Ribbono Shel Olam as if this was a mistake. This person is not necessary. You're challenging the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ramban saying that if you look at people in a low way, it could be affecting your level of ruchness because you're not living up to your standards. But you understand the Ribbono Shel Olam created every person. So sometimes he took even the lowest of persons. He carried this Reborach is another story of Rasan Svi, that his son, it was years later, went out to the garden, and Rasan was learning and he disturbed him, and he came out, told his son he can't disturb him. And Rasan said to him, I don't understand, why not? He's a Yid, he's a mensch, he's a person, he can talk to me, I can talk to him. There's no difference between me and him. Well, there's a difference of age, a difference of gadlus, but I have to look at every person as my equal. I mustn't treat him any less. Flamaros brings down in B'mechitzah some story of Rabbi Zalman. He was at home. Someone said, Rabbi Skorov is coming to visit you. And he ran upon his Shabbos beksha and his Shabbos clothes. And he opened the door. And it was a regular person. And he walked him inside. He sat him down. He brought him a drink. He spoke to him. He didn't want to sit down next to this person. And someone said to him, it wasn't the Rabbi Skorov in the end. He should have said, relax, chill out. Take your Shabbos clothes back off. Tell him, you bring me a drink. He realizes that I realized at that moment what a life of a lie I live. I thought brisker off, I have to do mechabot. I regularly did not. He said, how wrong that is. Every person is a tzelem elikim. Every yid so great. And if I realize at that moment, I must treat him as if it's the brisker off. With all the bells and whistles of what I would have done for the brisker off, I now did for this person. Because I realize that every person is so great and every yid is no different to me. And that's what the Ramban said, Moir Mochel Shemayim, when a person looks down, he's Moir Mochel Shemayim, because he thinks he's better than someone else. But my Yisqo'el Eva'otam, in Ba'isha, what are you proud of? Your money? Hashem Moir Shemayim, Hashem gives the money. There's no reason, difference between A and B, because he, the Ramban, gave him more this, more affluence, more any area of life, he has more than someone else. There's no difference, because the Ramban gave it to him. Im covered, aloy lelikimu. Person feels I have covered. Covered is laHashem. Shem ava oishva covered mofanecha. Everything ultimately belongs to the Ramban Shalom. And he carries on and saying that the way we look at people is strange because this person has no real difference to you. Always remember to learn Torah. But he ends up before b'chol tovarech v'masecho machshoisech, everything you do b'choleis chasha b'libcha kilo at ha'ibrit b'melech ha'kovit. Think about it, if you stand in front of the Rebbein Shalom, Shechinto Yalof, Kikvoyte Moli, Ha'ilam, Rebbein Shalom, you're always in front of Hashem. I remember many years ago, I was a little boy, and Ramatio was speaking. My father said to me, maybe come listen to Ramatio. I was very young, so I'm not sure this is for me. Okay, it was Yom Tov, I think it was Pesach. He's speaking in Shul, and Gade said, so off I went. I think it was the only time I heard him speak live, besides my Bar Mitzvah, and I was standing there, and he started off by saying, we come to Shemayim. And the Rebbein Shem said, do you keep all the halachas? He said, me, for sure, I'm a good yid. Shabbos, Yom Tov, everything I did right. Tzedakah, Torah, Tefillah. So the Rebbein Shem says, you know, let's start from the beginning. Let's see. Yom Shulchan Aruch. The first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Did you always remember I was there? You're like, ooh, you caught me on that one now. He says, it's a shame. You mess up on the first siman and first sefer Shulchan Aruch. If it's a bit later, fine. At least you got through a bit. But don't mess up at the beginning. Shavizi Hashem Lenegdi Samit, which is extremely difficult. And let the Ramban say, B'chol Tavarecho, Ma'asecho, Machshoisecho, Chashe B'livcha Kila Atoim Shem Melech HaKovit. Remember always if you stand in front of Hashem, which is extremely difficult because everything I do, I have to remember Hashem's there. I was in someone's house once, he has a big sign, huge frame in his house. People have all sorts of frames. They have the Kosel, they have Gedolim, they have pictures. It was a huge frame. In the frame was four words. Shavisi Hashem Lelekti Samet. I said, wow, I hope you don't do anything wrong in this room. Here he is, the Rebbein Shem is right there in front of you. But that's the message. Shavisi Hashem Lelekti Samet. The Rebbein saying, if you remember that, then you'll have a much easier job out of all the previous qualifications I gave you, whether it's Kovot, Anova, Yira, all the different things, a person realizes the Rosh is always there. And that, in a way, is the most difficult to always remember. He ends off with one of the last comments. He says, V'heitzah kol divrei ha'olam bilibcha, remove everything from your heart, based on tefillah. Now this is extremely difficult. Based on tefillah, when a person comes to daven, to remove everything from his heart, there's so much going on. There's a famous joke, a person came to the Rav or the Rebbe, whichever one you want to say it with, and he said, I would go lots of money, what's going to happen? So the Rav or the Rebbe said to him, don't worry, the goy doesn't daven, he won't remember. It's only us who have time when we daven for our mind to wander. He says, Be'ezah tefillah, you have to remove everything from your heart. Be'ezah kol divrei milibcha, remove everything from your heart when you daven, and daven can be very difficult. And that's really the avodah. He looked at Shulchan Aruch, the end of Chelik Aleph, where he explains when a person davens, it's got to be as if there's nothing exists in the world, which is very, very difficult. A person's got a lot going on in their head, and a person realizes they can't. I had a good friend. That was a long story, but I got a call from him. Hi, I've just been arrested. He called me from jail, and I was just for shkia, and I had to have a mincha. And I remember it was extremely difficult. It was one of the hardest things in my life. I had to start davening when I knew he'd just been arrested. My mind was all over the place. And I realized afterwards that maybe, hard to know, maybe it would be better not to daven. Because a person davens when their mind is not with them. It's not really a tefillah. Tefillah's got to be in a way that a person has a clear mind and understands what he's doing. And it's got to be davening right. And there's many elements to davening, the way we treat davening. Just to end off with a story, I was by mitzvah last week, and someone said the story. We all like stories, nothing wrong with a story. He said, Shalom Shadron, used to always speak every week in Zechar Moshe, and one week he came in Zechar Moshe, and he said to the people there, you come to Shemayim Achmev Esrim, the Rebbein Shem is going to ask you, why did you use a razor to shave? Now Zechar Moshe, Yisham, they got the long beard, the long pears, use a razor to shave, and the Rebbein Shem is going to ask you, Machal Shabbos, why were you Machal Shabbos? They looked at Shalom as if he'd gone mad. Shalom said, I'll explain to you why I'm saying this to you. He said, every Friday I go around Machne Yehuda to all the different people there in the shuk, and I say to them, please close your shop. It's going to be Shabbos. It's wrong to have your shop open. I'm normally not Matzlech. No one listens to me. But I keep at it. And every now and again, I have a happy moment where one person listens to me. He said, there was a barber there who had a big sign. And on the sign it said, I'm open on Shabbos, and I use a razor. And I went to him and I said to him, you can't use a razor. Razors are also to use. Shulchan Aruch says you can't use a razor. And Shabbos Kedesh, how can you open on Shabbos? It's wrong. And I went to him week after week after week. And eventually, one week I came Friday afternoon, I saw him packing up. The sign was down. He was passing, what are you doing? He said, I realized you drive me mad. We're going to give it a try. We're going to keep Shabbos. We're not going to use a razor for a bit. We're going to do it. And Shalom said, I was so happy. I had finally managed, this man had succumbed to me. And now he admitted defeat. And I was victorious. I was so happy. A few weeks later, I was back in the shuk doing my rounds of Shabbos, and I couldn't believe it. The shop was back open. The sign was back up. I went to the man and said, what's going on? The man said to me, I'll tell you exactly what happened. I took your advice. I closed my shop. I took the sign down. I committed to not using a razor and not being open on Shabbos. And I went to Zechar Moshe, Yushul. And I came in the first week, and I saw Shabbos morning, there was a big sign up, and I said, also Lidaba B'Shas Tefillah. And under the sign, there's two cheres schmoozing straight through davening. I realized the whole thing's a joke. It's a joke for you, it's a joke for me. You don't keep to the halachas, I don't keep to the halachas. I might as well make money off the back of this. And I went back and opened my shop. And Shalom said, the Rebbe is going to ask you, were you the people who did this? Because if yes, you're the one who used the razor, you're the one who machal Shabbos. When a person davens, you've got to remember how we daven. As the Ramban says, you've got to remove everything and daven purely to Hashem. And if we do this, the talk calmly, the kaas, the anova, the gaiva, and the yira, and finally the tefillah, as the Ramban says, you'll be zoicha, tavatzlocha, every day of your life.
This is the page where we see that Sholem and Achdus, that's something very much needed for Kabbalah Satira. The Vidal says that people should be, that we should all be Mischazak and Achdus and Sholem before Shavuos, before Matatari, said like Shon Yom Kippur, before Shon Yom Kippur, people are Mischazak, Sholem, and Fais each other, so too before Shavuos. And he says the remnants to this is that this week's Pasha starts from Midbar, which is always read before Shavuos starts off, Veidav Hashem and Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai. He says Bamidbar Sinai is the match with the Sholem. So that's the remnants that Pashas Bamidbar is the Hakdomim before Matan Teresh, between the Sholem and the Achdus, and that brings Kabbalah Satira. We find the same by also in Gilas Esther, where it says Havam's Kitrug was Amechad Mufuzah Mufuzah, the Naamim, there was no Achdus, and we see that afterwards, Knois Kol Ayhudim, and then they attack Kimum and Kibru, they will become the Teresh. The Achdus is always the Hachome and brings the consul to the Kabbalah Satira again. Right. So, says Pasuk Aleph, Vayidab Hashem and Moshe, Bemid Vasinai, Dvarei and Moyed, Akadok who spoke to Moshe, and they were in Vasinai, Akadok was the Moshe Rabbeinu, Dvarei and Moyed, and the date of this Nevuah was Ve'echad Achoydesh Hasheni, Aleph Iyar, Vashon Hasheni, so let's say some answer beside the beginning of the second year of Klal Yisrael after Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Se'ues Roish Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, Mish Bechoysam, Neveis Avoysam, count all the Yidden, all of Klal Yisrael according to the Shvotim, each Shevet also had the number, Neveis Avoysam according to the fathers, Yichus, Nemis Pashemois, Kol Zochal, Kol Geloysam, every male will be counted, and mentioned by names, they're not just numbers, every name should be mentioned, Shachlater says, but he tells Moshe Rabbeinu specifically, don't just say numbers, I want to hear every Yid's name, I want to hear Yankel, I want to hear Shmerel, Merel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Abba of Klal Yisrael, he wants to be Mispah Shemus, it shouldn't just be numbers, Kol Zachar L'Gul G'Loysom. And then that's him, Shadu B'Malo, the Pasuk says, from the age of 20 and upwards, those are the people which will be counted. So says Rashi, Beidaber, and the Midbasin, and the Chodesh, Mitoichi Basan, the Fon of Boin, the Yisam Kosho, we find that they've been counted already, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted them again and again. Kshiyotsu Mitzrayim and all, when they came out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted them. So the Mufashim explained it means the number is mentioned by when they come out. It says 600,000 Yidden came out of Mitzrayim. So the number is mentioned. Ukshnafu be Egel and Pashas Kisisa after a lot of Yidden died because of Chita Egel, Menon Lila Minyan and Lisur, which Bokhu comes to them again. Ukshabala Hashra is Shchinose Alehem, and again here, when the Kosh Bokhu comes to be Mashra, the Shchina in the Mishkan, after the Mishkan has been built, beginning of Chodesh Nisan, which was a month before this, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Be'echad B'Nisan, Mukam HaMishkan, U'Be'echad B'Iyah B'Na'om. So first of all, there is some type of masculine dog.